Good morning. It is with a very humble heart that I bring you a message this morning, and thank you very much. Would you please join me in prayer? Dear Father God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each of our hearts be guided by your Holy Spirit and be a reflection of your everlasting love. In your Son's Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What's a label? Webster's dictionary says a label is a slip attached to something for identification or description or an identifying word or phrase. How many kinds of labels do you suppose there are? One I know of, a jar of peanut butter. It tells the ingredients that are included. It even tells what it's used for. It even has an expiration date on it or best used by date. I'm glad mine doesn't. John and I both like chili. Typically, chili is something we enjoy, but usually chili has beans in it, at least the ones that we've grew up with. But the beans that usually come in chili, I can't eat because they don't like me. So when I go to the grocery store, I look for a can that says, no beans. On one of my medicine bottles, you know, we always have them, and some of us who are older get more than we want. A medicine bottle tells the name of the prescription, and heaven help me if I could ever pronounce it, let alone understand what it means. But anyway, when the drug should be taken, how many pills you should take at one time. It tells the name of the prescribing physician. It tells the name of where you got the pill in the first place. It also has a number on it that tells you where you can call if you need a refill on this prescription and an expiration date. We even have labels on our clothing describing the content of the material and how it should be cleaned, as well as the name of the designer or the company that made it. Another kind of labeling might be found in the form of a user's guide, and that could be included in a package of a new gadget, a tool, a phone. Those also give information on how it's used or operated. It may also include the expectant life of that particular object and cautions us as to how it can be used or what to do in case it's just not working the way we expected it to work. So, labels truly are an important means of communication. When my sister and I were born, our parents wanted to give us names that would not easily be reduced to nicknames. We didn't do that for our kids. In fact, we did the opposite. Hence, I am named Mary Alice. To this day, the people who really know me refer to me by my double name. However, growing up, I was called something else. As an example, when I was in the third grade, I had to have glasses. Well, you know, contacts weren't invented yet. And what was I called by some of my third grade friends? Four eyes. Maybe you were too. Though we think it's so today, and you couldn't tell by looking at me, I was a skinny, tall girl in my middle school years, and once in a while was called Sticks. We also have labels that aren't so useful or kind even. Some even limit people who are seeking an identity of their own. Recently, I had the privilege of leading a small group of women in the Bible study of the book of Ruth. It got me to thinking about how often the Bible adds label to a name, like Ruth is referred to as Ruth the Moabite. This tells us that she was from Moab. She wasn't an Israelite. And a person of note, who and what she was. Most people referred to in the Bible had something added to their names, or labels, if you will, that did indeed tell us something of their importance, their character, and their relationship to God and his son Jesus. To name a few, Adam, first man created by God. Abraham, father of nations. Barnabas, an early missionary commissioned by the Apostle Paul. Bartimaeus, a blind man healed by Jesus. And Boaz, great, how many ever times, grandfather of Jesus. Caiaphas, the high priest who presided over Jesus' trial. David, the shepherd boy who became a king, but we remember him a lot by the slaying of Goliath. Jacob was a visionary. He remembered seeing a ladder climbing up to heaven. And I can remember as a kid, and I don't know about you, we used to sing, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder." John. John was a cousin of Jesus, but we know him more as John the Baptist. Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, but the one who betrayed Jesus. And Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, who Jesus raised from the dead. Moses, the leader of Israel out of Egypt, and we know him as the first child that was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter from a bulrush basket. And Nicodemus, the Jewish leader who came to Jesus by night so as not to be noticed by anybody else. And Peter, one of the 12 disciples, who was a leader of the early church. And Solomon, son of King David, and noted for his wisdom, we sort of talk to him as Solomon the Wise. Timothy, a companion of Paul and a founder of the early church in Ephesus. And Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who climbed a tree in order to see Jesus. And of course, the 12 disciples, a group of followers of Jesus. Can you name them? Do you know who they are? Can you list them? Peter, James, John. Those were the three that were the closest to Jesus. Then there was Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and Matthew and James, who was the other James, who was the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, and of course, Judas. Since this is Women's Sunday, I must not omit the names of women who should be mentioned also, like Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, Esther, a young Jewish girl who became the queen of Xerxes, Hagar, servant of Sarah and mother of Ishmael, Martha and Mary, who were the sisters of Lazarus and noted for being great hostesses, and Mary, of course, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, who was an apostle to the disciples, and Rahab, the prostitute who hid the spies, and Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi and wife of Boaz and great, how many ever times, grandmother of Jesus. And of course, Sarah, the wife of Abraham and the mother of Isaac. But headlining these lists should be, of course, the name Jesus. We have different labels for him, such as God's only begotten son, a babe born in a manger, the Lamb of God, Savior, Emmanuel, the Messiah, Shepherd, the Beloved. And Jesus even referred to himself as I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate of the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Even though I haven't found any direct scriptural reference, I want to add another label to this list of Jesus, kinsman redeemer. From my study of the book of Ruth, the term kinsman redeemer is associated with Ruth's relationship to Boaz. A kinsman redeemer, or goel in Hebrew, refers to the person who is next of kin to one who has died, but leaving no direct descendants, and therefore becomes the person responsible for the purchase of debts, lands, and the care of remaining persons and property. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we learn of God's relationship to mankind. He created man in his own image, blessed and loved him and her, and called them by name as he would a member of his own family. For truly they were. We also learn to call God our Father, not yours, not his, not hers, but our Father. For truly he is. Thus, you and me are called direct descendants of God. And if God's Son, Jesus, became our next of kin, I think that means that Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He rescued us from sin. He died on the cross to redeem our misdeeds, and he welcomes us into heaven as a member of God's family, for truly we are. I don't know about you, but the next time we're asked to wear a name tag, or if you will, a label, I want mine to say, Mary Alice, child of God.